Well, let's continue with our online worship service, our last one, as far as we know, in lockdown 2020. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be together here in this worship center. But also, if you are at home, we will do our best to live stream the service for you. But for today, let's turn our eyes to 1 Peter 1, verse 10 to verse 12. Just a short prayer before we start. Father, we pray now as we open your word, that you will help us, help me as I preach, that my words will be clear and that my thoughts will be logical for all those who listen. And help those who listen by your Holy Spirit, that the words will find its way into hearts that will change, so that we may be able to glorify Christ more, for he is worthy. Amen. 1 Peter 1 verse 10 to verse 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. People often say, I just want to be happy. They'll say things like, I'm changing careers because I just want to be happy. I'm changing countries because I just want to be happy. I'm changing husbands or wives because I just want to be happy. I want to change, I want a change, because I just want to be happy. What things in this life brings you the greatest joy? Peter writes to believers who are being persecuted. They have a lot of reason not to be joyful. And these persecuted Christians he writes to are in Asia Minor, which is the current day Turkey, if you want to look on the map. They were being persecuted for what they believed. And some practical situations are also addressed in this letter. For example, some wives were married to husbands who were not Christians, and these wives needed to be instructed and encouraged. So Peter starts off his letter encouraging the suffering Christians with praising to God for their salvation in 1 Peter 1 verse 3. And he then goes on and says that we have a living hope and the new birth. And this is why our salvation is as wonderful as it is. We are being protected and preserved by God for this salvation. We have an inheritance that will never fade, 1 Peter 1 verse 3 to verse 6. And Peter writes to those Christians and to us today about how great our salvation is in order to encourage them and us and bring them and us joy in the midst of and in spite of suffering. What things bring you the greatest joy in this life? Most people find their joy from family and friends and career and hobbies and sports or entertainment. But when family is sick or when there are problems at work, or when your team does not win, you lose your joy. No doubt many among these churches had lost their joy as well, since the world around them was falling apart, even more than 2,000 years ago. That was true. And we may say today, well, I cannot be joyful because the world is falling apart around me. The greatest joy in our life should be Christ. And our greatest joy should be because of the salvation we have received from him. It is from this relationship with God, because of salvation and the benefits of salvation, that we can have enduring, everlasting, constant joy. And in this passage, 1 Peter 1 verse 10 to 12, Peter's advice is that you should refocus your expectation of joy and your reliance on the things that bring you joy. Focus on how great your salvation is so that you can have joy and persevere in that joy. And Peter starts off with concerning this salvation, calling them and us to remember things that they already knew so they can again stand in awe. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So just preceding the verses that we're covering today, that is almost an introduction to what this salvation is, the salvation of your souls. What is the symptom, the outcome? What does it look like when you are saved? Well, look again at verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. Rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Dear friends, salvation is shown in loving Jesus, and the symptom of one who loves Jesus is joy that cannot be expressed. An inexpressible joy. Inexpressible joy. Joy about your salvation. The rest of your life can be miserable. And even sometimes when you visit someone, a true Christian, who in your opinion's life is falling apart, you'll hear that person say, "I cannot tell you how happy I am. I cannot explain the reason why I'm so happy, but I am happy." And then we see in 1 Corinthians, you'll remember 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19, that says, "If in Christ we have hope in this life, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." So dear friend, if your hope for joy is in this life, then you are of all people most to be pitied. And you may say, "Well, I have other problems. My husband cannot be trusted. You don't know him. And my wife does not respect me. You don't live with her. My children do not obey. They are terrible. My parents are strict and too strict. They make my life miserable. My boss is unfair. I can't stand it anymore. My workers are lazy. I have to do everything myself. My fellow road users are absolutely fools. It's dangerous to go on the roads. My country is managed by criminals. My God is absent." Dear friend, none of these problems and trials that tend to rob us of our joy and keep our minds busy late into the night are actually that important. What is important? Much, much more important than any of your biggest problems. Salvation is so much more important. The prophets looked forward and the angels looked down to see the results of true salvation. And in these verses, 1 Peter 1 verse 10 to 12, we will see three truths about the greatness of your salvation that should restore or even increase your joy. Let's answer these questions. What does Peter teach us about the greatness of our salvation that should help us have joy in our salvation and encourage us in the midst of our trials? The prophets and the angels were and are amazed at this thing called salvation. Are you amazed? Do you see the value of your salvation? Or is salvation something that you take for granted? Is salvation maybe not for you? Three questions answered that hopefully will restore the joy in your salvation. What are you saved from? What are you saved to? And what is your salvation worth? Let's look again at 1 Peter 1 verse 10. What are you saved from? Verse 10 says, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully." Pay attention to what the prophets prophesied about that that amazed them. It is the grace that was to be yours. What is grace? Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. The prophets looked ahead and the angels looked down and they see that God is just in his punishment of humankind. They see his grace added to that when he does not punish, but instead he rewards. Your salvation is pure grace. Receiving what you don't deserve is pure grace. We need to be saved from the disease and guilt of sin, from the judgment of God, and from the destruction of the devil. Look at how Peter explains these things that we need to be saved from in other parts of his letter. We start with 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. There you see you've been saved from the disease of sin. And then 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And also 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Dear friend, if you're a Christian, you are saved from that judgment of God. And then also you are saved from the bondage of the devil's lies. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 9. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So you are saved from the deadly disease and result of sin. You are saved from the guilt of sin. You are saved from the judgment of God resulting in hell. And you are saved from the devastating destruction that is the devil's work in this life. So what are you saved to? 1 Peter 1 verse 10 and 11. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. You are saved to understand or to see the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Understanding what Jesus did is what you are saved to. Saving has two meanings. When someone is drowning, for example, and that person is saved, it means that the person is saved from danger or is saved from potential harm. Then saving can also be a saving too. When I save money, I hope to gain a benefit from the saving. Our salvation carries both meanings. It should be enough to be saved from hell. But our God does more. He saves us too. He saves us in order to gain a benefit. So, what are you saved to? What is the end goal of your salvation? What are the results of your salvation? You are saved so that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. You are saved so that you can have joy forever. And you are saved so that you may receive a benefit from God called glory. So again, let's prove it by looking at what Peter writes. We start with 1 Peter 2, verse 25. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. There is the personal relationship that you are saved to. And then 1 Peter 4, verse 13. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, so that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. There is the suffering and the joy. And then 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Also 1 Peter 5, verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. There you see the glory or the value that shines through. That is what you are saved to. Your joy should be restored or increased in light of all your trouble and in spite of all your trouble when you remember what you are saved to. Then, lastly, what is your salvation worth? 1 Peter 1, verse 12. It was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were serving not themselves but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. In 2008, Pastor Clint Archer preached through 1 Peter, and in referring to these verses, he explained that the details about our salvation is given to us in increments. So we don't know everything about our salvation. We don't know everything about, especially, the value of our salvation. We'll only know that one day when we go into glory. But one of our privileges is that we can already know enough from the Bible about this. What is your salvation worth? I have a most appreciated and valuable possession on my wall in our house. It is a painting that my daughter made when she was about 5 or 6 years old, and she's past 30 already. And she made a bigger version or replica of that same painting. It is a water painting. For me, on my 50th birthday, she made this replica. That painting will not sell for much money, but it is priceless to me because it is uniquely made for me. There are two parts to the value of your salvation in this verse, that we read, 1 Peter 1, verse 12. Firstly, the prophets worked and risked their lives for you, specifically for you, so that you would benefit from what they said but never saw. It is for you, dear Christian. They were serving not themselves, but they were serving you. Those are the words that we read in this verse. For your salvation, so that you will realize the value of your salvation, so that you will restore the joy of your salvation. The prophets looked forward, anxiously anticipating. The prophets longed to experience this thing that they saw in their mind's eye under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus came to the prophet Isaiah with these words in Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6. But he was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And in Peter's letter, he sums up what Isaiah predicted many years ago. Who will it be? Who will that person be? It is Christ we see in Peter. When all this happened? Well, it happened on the cross. How long do we have to wait? Well, we waited long enough. It happened now. And we who live between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension and his second coming, we ask that same question. How long do we have to wait? Well, Peter says just long enough. What will he look like? Well, we don't know what Jesus looks like, but we do know what his character looks like. What will he do? Well, we know what he did and we know what he is doing. Those great prophets in the Bible worked for your benefit, dear Christian. 1 Peter 1 verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. Come on. The great Isaiah is the server, the waiter. He served up this magnificent meal of wonderful spiritual food, salvation, news about salvation. He served it up for you. Isaiah is your waiter, your servant. He serves up the truth about the salvation work of Jesus. How valuable is that? But there's even more value added to that. Jesus himself knew since the creation of the world that he would suffer for your salvation. John Piper says it like this. This means that Christ, the Son of God in heaven, has been contemplating his suffering and his death for us for centuries. Indeed, as far back as the plan of salvation reaches in the mind of God, so far back has Christ been willing and ready to give himself for our sins. You were not loved for just a bloody moment of sacrifice in history. You have been loved for endless ages in the eternal plan of the Father and the Son to save sinners who trust in him. Your salvation is so valuable and important that Jesus himself contemplated, knowing the suffering over centuries, and he still did that. Then there's one more addition. Your salvation is also so important that it is delivered by you, or to you personally, by the Holy Spirit. Again, listen to verse 12. The things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. A special thing happens when Christians read the Bible or listen to an explanation of the Bible. A special thing is happening possibly at this moment as you listen to this explanation of the Bible. You may think it is just another sermon, and you may even wish for this sermon to end. But don't miss the value of this activity. As you listen to a sermon, the Holy Spirit himself delivers gifts to you. The Holy Spirit was not only involved in writing the Bible, but he is also specifically involved in explaining the Bible, in making clear the Bible, and he is doing it right now. The supreme ruler of the universe interacts in your mind and heart to make sure that your salvation has its desired effect in you. It is also the same Holy Spirit who called you and prepared your heart in order for you to hear his call so that you could be saved. He may be calling you now, maybe for the first time, maybe again. He may be calling you back. Listen to that call. Come, follow Jesus. He and he alone can give you joy that will last for all eternity. Don't resist. Give in and experience the value of true salvation today. Last point of value. Look at the last few words in verse 12. Verse 12 says, things into which angels long to look. Things into which angels long to look. Angels love to look out for the results of salvation. Well, what do angels normally do? What do they do in heaven? I know you know, they worship God. In Revelation, we hear that they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But from time to time, they turn their gaze towards earth, and they watch, and they see, and they turn to one another and burst out in more song because they see you turn from your sin, and they see you gradually or suddenly become more loving and more joyful and more peaceful and more patient and more good, more kind, more self-controlled. The angels long to look and see. The holy angels understand the value of your salvation, so much so that they take time out from adoring God for who he is to adoring God for what he is doing, to look at you to see what your salvation is accomplishing in you and in this world. Remember, they saw Jesus die on the cross. They were on high alert in case he called them. Your salvation is more valuable to Jesus than his own life, for he did not call them to come and save him. They look and they see. What is your salvation worth? It was worth more than the life of the God of the universe. So let me try and conclude with a few words. What is of most value to you in this life? Your joy will be restored when you remember the value of your true salvation. It is when we respond to biblical truths and your heart is, like John Wesley said, strangely warmed by the words that you read or listen to in a sermon, that you appreciate the value of salvation even more. The prophets and angels saw the value of salvation. Do you? Do you see the value of your salvation? And I hope you do. And then just think again. Do you really want to complain about your poverty or your health or your children? Do you want to complain about your work situation, your government, your spouse, your church, your elders? Do you really want these things to take away your joy? Really? No, you don't. You want to renew your joy in your salvation. Amen. Father, we do pray that these words that we contemplated in these minutes, that they will be effective in our lives. Restore our joy in our salvation. Show us Jesus again in all the words that we read in your word. Help us to stay focused on the things that have real value, that we will realize again that the things of this life is worthless compared to the value of the Lord Jesus Christ that can be ours and is ours because of our salvation. Amen. Well, don't go away. We have one more song that we can sing together. So please stay with us as we sing our closing hymn.